Hey, Empire Builders, I have such an exciting opportunity for you. If you are in or around Las Vegas on Tuesday, February 18th, I need you to mark your calendar because at the Mandalay Bay Convention Center, we are going to be hosting a live Empire Building session at 3:15. And right afterwards, we're actually going to be doing an in-person mastermind where we are working on your businesses together. So if you want to come and join us, please go and RSVP for your free seat at herbestlife.com/events. That's herbestlife.com/events. Hope to see you there.
Welcome to Empire Building. I'm Wendy Papazan, and together with my four co-hosts, we bring you weekly unfiltered conversations about leadership, growing a big empire, and living on your own terms.
I'm Kimber Lovett Mankiti. We are investors and wealth builders with over $75 million in combined net worth.
I'm Sarah Reynolds. We are visionaries who built more than 50 businesses with over $122 million in annual revenue.
I'm Tiffany Fikes. We've led thousands of people and do it all while being pretty good moms.
And I'm Seychelle Van Poel. We are your podcast to learn how to build big businesses and even bigger lives.
Hi, everyone, and happy Monday. It's Tiffany and Sarah here. Always a good week when it's Tiffany and Sarah.
It is. Yeah. Happy new week. I always am excited for a new week to make a difference and make an impact, and feeling super pumped up because we just got back from Mexico. And it was so, why were we in Mexico, Tiffany?
We were hanging out with our Her Best Life Empire Circle, which is always a good time. I always come back energized and ready to go.
Seriously. I mean, it reminds me of that quote, right? That you can't pour into others if you're not pouring into yourself. And it's our time to really pour into ourselves and lift each other up and to where we can turn around and be amazing leaders and amazing empire builders. And so we're just both feeling so excited to be recording today and pour into you guys because we just got poured into with our empire circle. So I'm excited about what we're going to talk about today.
Yeah, I love this topic because we're going to talk today about what do you do if your client doesn't sign the agreement to work with you, which could sound like a sad episode, but it actually isn't. And I love talking about this. And Sarah always has such great things to add.
So true. So true. I mean, no matter what empire you're building, no matter what business you're in, it's important for us to get agreements of sale or agreements of a business, right? And so many times they don't sign that first time you meet them. And it can be discouraging because, you know, I know at least in the real estate industry, which both Tiffany and I are in the real estate industry. In the real estate industry, I know it can be, you know, we do a lot of prep work before the appointment. We really get our mindset ready. We get pumped up. We have all of the plan of what we're going to do for them. And you go in and you present it all, and then they don't say yes the first time.
I know.
And so it can be so discouraging. And what do you do? What do you do? So today we are going to dive in and talk about what do you do when you don't get a yes the first time? What do you do when you don't get a yes the first time?
Well, and Sarah, you've already hit on really what I think is the first thing, which is understand that that is a part of this job. I was doing a career night last night and talking to people who maybe haven't been in sales before. And I'm like, you're gonna hear a lot of no's or not yets. And you've got to be okay with that. Like, we all want the yes immediately because that's the easiest path forward. But the reality is no's or not yets in agreements and like signing the contract to work with you is just a part of it. And so you cannot let that get discouraging to you because I think that's part of business that sometimes we forget about is what can suck your energy, what can make you disappointed and lose some of your motivation. And for me, this is one of those things, and recognizing this is going to happen, Tiffany. Like, you're not going to get a yes from everyone, and there is a way forward, and you can't let it set you back so far that you aren't just getting back out there again and going and going and going. And we've got a great plan for how do you move the not yets or the no's to a yes. because that's also a part of the process.
I love that. So first gold nugget from Tiffany, and if you are in a safe place to write it down, I would write down no equals not yet, right? So like, how do you hear a no? Like, I think that that is almost the most critical part, is our mindset around what they might say as no, right? When you go to close, when you go to ask for the agreement and they say no, the first thing that we want you to learn today is we want you to hear not yet. So it's not a no, it's a not yet. It reminds me, you know, like to also celebrate those no's, right? So like every it takes four no's to get a yes. So one of the things that helped me in the very beginning, when I heard that, when I first started in sales and I heard that, I was like, okay, so then no's aren't bad then, right? So that not yet, it's so we're going to practice what we're preaching here, right? So it takes four not yets to get the finally get the yes, right? So like that means that we want to celebrate when we get a not yet, because that means we're closer to the yes. So what's your mindset around that? Like, because so many times, I think if you're good at empire building, if you're good in sales, because most people that are good at empire building are good at sales, okay? We're pretty emotional people, like meaning like we're like mindset's really important and you can get set back. I think what Tiffany's saying is so real. Like, do not allow the no to set you back. Do not get in your head. Do not get discouraged, because it's just a not yet and it's part of the process. It's part of the process. So expect it. Expect it going in that you might get a not yet. And so then you won't be discouraged when it does happen, because sellers and buyers and or the clients are going to do their job, which is to sometimes say not yet. a few stats on this that I think is also important. So the first sort of step in how to turn, like what to do if they don't say yes the first time. Okay, the first step is protect your mindset, okay? And turn that no into a not yet. And then that means that the second thing is you want to become a master of follow-up, okay? Follow-up is really the name of the game. That's where the majority of your money, your revenue, your impact sits, in your follow-up, okay? So you want to really get consistent about follow-up. I know we've got some stats about follow-up, Tiffany. Why don't we share those with our listeners?
So 80% of sales require 5 follow-ups after the initial contact. That is, I mean, like for all practical purposes, all of them. Like you should be shocked if you get a yes the first time.
Seriously.
And so 5. And here's where you win if you master what Sarah just talked about in the follow-up. 44% of salespeople will never follow up more than once.
So my competition strength, when I hear that, goes crazy, right?
Yeah.
Because I'm like, wait a second. Like, does that mean, like that stat means that if you follow up a second time, just a second time, okay, that means that you've eliminated over half of your competition. Because 44% aren't following up, right?
Yeah.
No, only 44% follow up a second time.
And that's even the first time.
Yes. Yeah. And there are stats that show, like I've done a lot of studying on this, and it goes all the way to 95%. You can eliminate 95% of your competition by following up over four times. Meaning like once you follow up that fifth time, like they're going to be your client because no one else is doing it. You've eliminated everyone else, okay? So we're going to dive into really how to follow up, what to do when you're following up, because when you get those not yets, you then want to become the master of follow-up, okay? The other thing I love about, before we get into sort of the tactical things of how to follow up, the other thing that I love about follow-up and the way that I look at follow-up is it's relationship building. Like that's
for sure.
When we're thinking all it is to get the sale or get the agreement, you know, that's when we really get in our head. But when we think about it as relationship building, like to me, it also sets us apart because the client feels cared for. You know, they know we're coming in to sell something, like to either to be hired or to help them selling something, right? And so their guard is already a little bit up, like raised when we're coming in. But when we continue to build that relationship with them, that then makes it to where they're a human, like where we're building the relationship versus it's not just about the sale. And in life, that's what matters.
Totally. We had some agents who wanted to change even how we talked about it internally. And so instead of lead generation or sales follow-up calls, they made happy helping hours. And that was their focus, was the follow-up is, I am happy to help the people that I've already met with or the people that I need to meet with. And so I'm having happy helping hours instead of sales follow-up calls.
Oh, that's huge. Another gold nugget dropped by Tiffany again. I wrote that down. That's awesome. That's brilliant. Okay, so let's get into what do you do at first? Okay, so you go on the appointment or you have that sales call where you're asking for the agreement, no matter what business you're in. Okay, what do you do right away in terms of follow-up? Okay, so the first thing is you want to send a handwritten card. Boy, is there power in a handwritten card. Tiffany, what was the last handwritten card you got? Or tell me about experience with a handwritten card and what it meant to you.
Well, yeah. I mean, I actually just opened a handwritten card this morning because I got one of our Her Best Life packages and Michaela had written me a handwritten card. But before that, I can't even remember when I got a handwritten card. And opening it, I assumed it was going to be something printed. And then when I got it and it was handwriting, you know, like you just have that little, oh my gosh, this is something special and important. And so it is a very easy way to stand out and make the person feel important because nobody is doing it. Your mailbox, nobody's using the mailbox anymore. And so anytime we get something in that, it hits a nostalgia in our brain. It's a dopamine hit in our brain. Like you're giving that to your people. So handwritten notes, so powerful.
If you think about how much now our society texts and we're on social media and like so much is in writing, like typed writing. So when you set yourself apart with that handwritten card, A, it takes more time, right? You got to find the card, you got to write it. And the person that's receiving it feels that, right? I got a handwritten card from one of our Her Best Life community members. Her name's Kelly Fry. She is brilliant. She focuses a lot on investors up in Canada. And she sent me a handwritten card thanking me for my impact on the industry. And it was totally random. And I've literally looked at that card every day. I opened it in the middle of December. And today is middle of January. Okay. And I've looked at it every single day and it has kept me going. And so think about when your client or a potential client gets a handwritten card from you and they have a big, in real estate, they have a big task ahead, moving. Okay. That's a challenging task. Okay. And they get encouragement from someone that they met with about their goal and showing care, like the feeling that they're going to have that you gave them, it will automatically set yourself apart. So handwritten card is the first thing that you want to do after you meet with them the first time.
Yes. Then you also want to do a thank you email. So if you go directly back to your office from the appointment, remember where they did not sign, we're not talking about how do you thank clients for working with you. It is like, how are you moving the not yet to a yes? So you get back to your office, you do the handwritten card, you put it in the mail, which means client hasn't gotten it, and then you write them an email immediately. That way they get an immediate response from you, and you've got the other thing in the works that'll hit their mailbox the next day or the next day.
I love that. Lately, I've been really like thinking about how valuable it is when someone gifts you their time. Like as I'm getting older, I think time is just becoming like so valuable. Like, so I just view it so differently. And when someone gifts you their time, like whether they work with you or not, they have gifted you something. They have spent time with you. They've asked you questions. They've gotten to know you and what you do and what you represent. And so like They didn't have to do that, you guys. Like they didn't have to meet with you. And the fact that they did, a simple thank you, like thank you for spending time with me. Thank you for sharing your goals. Thank you for allowing me to share what I do and what I'm passionate about. I mean, it really sets you apart of just being someone showing gratitude for the time that they gave you. And so do that first in the email. And I typically don't like ask for anything. Like I'm not asking for a commitment or anything like that. I'm just simply thanking them for meeting with me. So that's the second thing. So you write the handwritten card, you send the thank you email. The third is you want to then send them the next day. So now this is 24 hours later, or that like they've slept on it. They might have reached out to you and like asked some questions. But the next step is you want to provide something of value. Okay. So you want to send them something of value and then you want to call them about it. So my rule is anytime I send an email, I call. Like other than the thank you. Okay. If you just were with them, that would be somewhat weird. Okay. But every time I send an email, I call. The reason for that is that email sometimes doesn't go through to the regular inbox. And so you never want to trust that they get the email. And so calling is the way that you can like protect against that. But you want to provide something of value. So like in real estate, like an example of that would be like, here's the top 5 staging recommendations for getting your house ready for sale. Like that's valuable to them. That helps them, right? So you want to send them something of value and then you want to call them, letting them know that you sent that to them and you thought that it would be helpful to them. And that's it. Okay. You want to provide value to them.
Love it. Okay. And then, so cadence, you've left their house. They got a thank you email that day from you. Then the next day they get an email with something of value and you called them also. And then by the next day, they've received your handwritten note. Like they may get it on day 2, they'll get it on day 3. Like from the customer experience, that's what they're experiencing from you. Same day, an email thanking you. Next day, something of value. And then the next day, that handwritten card that says, I went above and beyond and spent time. And so all of that is pushing towards your ability to book a second appointment with them. So once you have given, then you are in a place to ask for that next follow-up appointment to handle whatever the, you know, to bring whatever the information was that they needed to make a good choice, to see what further questions they might have or what else you can do to help them in their decision making. All of it pointing towards booking that second appointment.
I love that. Yeah, your goal now is right to get face to face again. I love the way Tiffany worded that because like, you basically are earning the right to do that, right? Like you earn the right to get more of their, for them to give you more of their time to where you can help them. And so you then want to get face to face with them again. I mean, that another example of that might be like, let's test drive and let's go look at some houses. Like, see if you like working with me, see if you like the cadence, right? And like, so the goal here is like, no matter what you need to, the next step after you've earned that right is let's get face to face again, because we know that you have the higher likelihood of getting the yes when you can get face to face with them again. And then once you do that, okay, once you're face to face again, once you have really built that trust, I mean, like, again, let's put ourselves in their shoes. They're feeling cared for. They're feeling seen. They're feeling appreciated. You took time. You went above and beyond. You've given them value. Now it's time to really close for the business because you've earned the right to do that. Okay. And so typically when I don't get that yes, that first appointment, we follow this cadence. And then the question that we ask that helps move it forward to the next phase is simply an open-ended question, but it's what can I do to earn your business? So at that point, there's trust, there's care, and it's time to ask. And so my favorite question for that is, I really want to serve you. Like I do believe that I'm the best to serve you. What can I do to earn your business today? And you just be quiet, okay?
Which is the hardest part for salespeople. Like your ability to ask this question, and I love the phrase, and let the silence do the heavy lifting.
Yes, yes. Anna Kruger, we've talked about her before here at Empire Building Podcast. We actually interviewed her, but she's at my office this week and she trained yesterday and she said she had such a hard time with this that she would mute the phone and talk. Like she would fill the silence, but they couldn't hear her.
Oh, I love that.
I was like, that's smart. That's really smart. And so my sort of hack for this, because I also struggle with letting the silence to the heavy lifting, is I count to 10. So counting to 10 seconds, and what I found is almost everyone says something at 8 or 9. So you literally have to count all the way to 10. Okay. And so that's my sort of hack for that. But let the silence do the heavy lifting. That's so powerful. But we have other things that you can do to follow up as well that we're going to go over here. Go ahead, Tiffany.
Yeah. So I think often in the follow-up, you're like paralyzed by what am I going to say or what's the thing that like I want to be helpful or like how do I not be overwhelmingly salesman-y, you know, all of those things. And so we're going to go through ways that you can be following up with people in a natural way that makes them feel cared for instead of sold. That's what I always struggle where I'm like, okay, I know I need to call you, but then I freeze because what am I going to say? So, you know, one of the things that I liked, you know, if it's a buyer, I just wanted to check in and let you know that a new home just came on the market in the neighborhood. They listed for this much money. And actually that works for a buyer or a seller. Like, hey, something just happened in your neighborhood that you need to know about. Or, hey, something listed in the house that you're or in the neighborhood you're looking in. That just says, I thought of you. Something happened and I thought of you. That's nothing but value and care.
I love that. And that's what you want to do. When you're following up, you're bringing value. So what value can you bring, right? You know, a lot of people don't get asked like how they're doing anymore either. And so I like to say, like a lot of times I'll say, you know, I was driving through your neighborhood or I saw a piano and I know that you love playing the piano and I thought of you and I just was just thinking about you. How are you? Like how's it going, right? So checking in on them as a human being, not for an intent of like moving them forward, but for an intent on literally just seeing how they're doing for real, right? Such, so powerful.
Well, and I want to highlight something that you just said in there. Like if you say, I saw a piano and I thought of you, that means you were listening to something in the appointment. Like if you can pick up on and remember a few things about them that then you can use to say, hey, I was listening to you and I thought of you. Like that's like a twofer win for their receiving that communication. So I just want to make sure you saw the gold in what Sarah just said is she said, I was listening and I am thinking of you now. So that is great. Another thing, sometimes people just don't, they need some urgency. Like making a decision for a lot of people is very hard. Most people, it is very hard to make a decision. And so they may need help with creating just a little bit of urgency that makes them feel like, okay, I need to make a decision now because most people will force it to the very last minute. So like calling them and saying something like, I was talking to our stager and she's getting really busy and I just wanted to check in and see if you wanted to get something scheduled with her because that's the first step after you hire us. And I don't want you to miss out. So then you're adding a little bit of urgency, you know, you're showing them that you care, but that's an easy way to follow up with somebody that says, are you ready to sign without saying, are you ready to hire me?
I love that. Yes. Building the sense of urgency is critical. And again, you followed our original steps, which meant that you earned the right to also help guide them along. They want leadership. Right? They want you to lead them. And so I love that. Another thing is like for this goes for sellers, but again, you can apply these to your business, whatever it is. Like, what are they really looking for? Like I remind my team all the time, sellers want a buyer, buyers want a home, neither want a realtor.
Oh, I love that.
like we're the avenue, like we're the way they get what they want, but we're not what they want. Okay. So like reminding them that we have what they want. So one thing that I like to, what we like to do with follow up with our sellers is, hey, I was looking through our buyers. So we just met with, you know, 10 buyers last month and I was looking through them and it looks like there's a few that actually match your home's criteria. And so I think we could match your home to one of our buyers. And then that's again, building sense of urgency, right? It's also letting them know that you already have value of what they want, which is a buyer for their home, and that you're helping work for them to help build that demand for their house.
Love that. Another thing that you can say, I was in the neighborhood with one of our buyers and I thought of you. That says, I thought of you, but it also says, we have buyers in your neighborhood. Like we don't want you to miss out on this opportunity. So that's a powerful way to follow up as well.
Yep. Another one is you can call about making sure that they have your list of like preferred vendors or what do they need to accomplish their goal and can you help provide that for them, right? So in real estate, like a list of preferred vendors, these are trusted people that can help you get your house on the market. I sent that over to you. I wanted to make sure you had it. Is there anything that you're looking to get done in your home? And let me tell you about my favorite painter, or let me tell you about my favorite flooring guy. And so again, you're providing value when you're following up.
Okay. And the last one is I wanted to call and see if you wanted to get any pictures of the outside of your home before it starts the winter season. Again, in January when this February when this podcast is dropping, probably that's not applicable, but podcasts live forever. So think about this in the fall and or even in the summer. It creates that sense of urgency for those people who say, hey, I want to list in the spring. This is a very powerful way to follow up with them as they're quote unquote waiting for the spring to come.
Love it. So you know going into the appointment that you're expecting most likely a not yet. Okay, so not a yes. You get the not yet. You then show care through our steps, right? You get that handwritten card out that you thank them for your time. You're providing value. You book a second appointment. And then you're using all of these scripting ideas to follow up, to build that relationship and knowing that you're every time you talk with them, you're eliminating your competitor every single time, right? And then in addition to that, you always want to set a reminder to follow up. So my recommendation, do not use sticky notes. Do not use a random notebook that you're going to lose, right? You want to use a contact management system that has the ability to set a reminder, okay, for them. Because as you build your sales pipeline, you're going to forget people. And that's part of the reason why when you're doing follow-up, you're limiting competition because they forgot people. And so you want to always set a reminder for the next time you're going to talk with them. And my tip that goes with that is whatever their timing is. So if they say, you know, we're going to purchase the boat in 6 months, okay? Or, you know, we're going to make a decision on our deck contractor in 3 months, okay? Or we're going to list the house in 3 months. You always cut the time in half, okay? So you never wait the time that they told you when to follow up. You always cut the time in half and you set that reminder to make sure that you're building that relationship along the way.
We do exactly the same thing. Like just assume they're going to buy the boat in 3 months instead of six and follow up appropriately. Yeah, that is huge. So one of the other things that you want to consider in the follow-up process, especially if you're not getting a lot of response back to them, is consider having another team member do some of the follow-up because there is always a chance that they wanted to work with you and you walked in and made some mistake and said something that maybe made them change their mind about you personally or, you know, just it might just be a personality mismatch that they would hire your company if they could work with somebody else. And so don't get offended by that. Like, don't, I'm sure your personal, like, don't do it because they need your company. They need your team.
Yes.
More than they need just you. Because if you're a part of a team, for sure, like, it's the process. It is the care of the team that they are going to have that great experience. And so if somebody else is a better match for their personality, don't miss the sale because of that. Have somebody else on the team follow up. Because then they may tell you something, tell that other team member something that A, would help you. B, they could maybe recover for you, the client, or they may just need to get matched with somebody else on the team. So having somebody else do the follow-up, especially if they've gone really radio silent on you, can help you get to that yes as well.
So good. So good. Well, in closing this out, I'm going to read, and there's some words in this. I love this quote, and there's some words I struggle with, so Tiffany's going to help me. Okay, but it's by Calvin Coolidge, and he said, "Nothing in this world can take the place of persistence. Talent will not. Nothing is more common than unsuccessful men with talent. Genius will not. Unrewarded genius is almost a proverb. Education will not. The world is full of educated derelicts." Is that right?
Derelicts. Yep. Basically, people who don't produce anything.
Yes. And then persistence and determination alone are omnipotent. Is that right?
Omnipotent.
Omnipotent. Okay. Omnipotent. Yes. Okay. So the point is that persistence with the client, the potential client, will always outpace talent, genius, education. Like, you can have the best strategy, but if you don't follow up, if you don't build that relationship, it doesn't matter. It doesn't matter. So get out there. Don't get discouraged when you get that not yet. Look at it as that's part of the game. That's part of building that empire, is to build those relationships. It's a process. It's not a one-time event. So work the process and go out there, beat all your competition and build those amazing empires. And as you're doing it, don't forget to build your big life. If you got something out of today's podcast, it would mean so much to us for you to share it with a friend, share it on social media. If you got a gold nugget, tag one of the co-hosts on social media. And also, we would love a 5-star review. Thanks for joining us today, and get out there and build a big business and an even bigger life. Bye, guys.
Have a great week.
This podcast is for general informational purposes only. The views, thoughts, and opinions of the guest represent those of the guest and not KWRI and its affiliates, and should not be construed as financial, economic, legal, tax, or other advice. This podcast is provided without any warranty or guarantee of its accuracy, completeness, timeliness, or results from using the information. Warning: you must comply with the TCPA and any other federal, state, or local laws, including for B2B calls and texts. Never call or text a number on any do not call list, and do not use an auto dialer or artificial voice or pre-recorded messages without proper consent. Contact your attorney to ensure your compliance.